dogged pursuit. Turns out Dog the Bounty Hunter was right. Records show the Laundries did indeed go camping right before Brian disappeared. Was he with them and did he vanish from there? Plus, new information about where, when, and how Gabby Petito may have died. And it is laser focused to the hour. And later, the truth is out there. Wait, that's the X-Files. But it's true. And no one's looking harder than Neil deGrasse Tyson. He joins me tonight on the mysteries of the cosmos, the fabric of space-time, and Demi Lovato's UFO encounter. For real. Welcome to Banfield. Have Brian Laundrie's parents been telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth to police, the FBI, and the public? And if so, what were they up to when they took a little camping trip with Brian a week after he returned home to Northport, Florida, without Gabby Petito in the van? The Laundrie camping trip first came to light when Dwayne Chapman, a.k.a. Dog the Bounty Hunter, said he got a tip about a campground 70 miles north of their home where he showed up and knocked. And when Dog the Bounty Hunter pulled the records from September the 7th to September the 8th, it indeed showed that Brian's mom, Roberta Laundrie, registered for campsite 001 on the waterfront at the DeSoto Park campground near St. Petersburg, Florida. The public information specialist for Pinellas County, where that campground is located, sent News Nation this campground registration, which, take a look, very clearly shows every camper's name and length of stay. And sure enough, you can see Roberta Laundrie booked to stay there from September 6th to September 8th. And this lines up pretty much squarely with the Laundrie's neighbors, who said they saw Brian and his parents packing up that brand new camper top in their driveway and then take off about a week after Brian had just returned home on September 1st. You'll remember the camper was spotted back in the Laundrie's driveway just a couple days later, September 13th. But nobody saw that family come home from that trip. And nobody can confirm that Brian was actually with his parents when they did get home to the little yellow house. That raises brand new questions about when Brian Laundrie actually disappeared. His parents, well, they say he vanished on September 14th after going hiking at the Carlton Nature Reserve in Northport. But what doesn't square up with that is it was 3 days before those parents ever said boo about anyone, let alone police, that he was gone. That's weird, isn't it, for parents? And after more than a week of searching in that swampy, hot, and dangerous reserve, the police and the FBI, maybe no surprise to some or many, no trace of Brian Laundrie in the swamp. But we have some traces, and we've been plotting Brian Laundrie with and without Gabby Petito. And the picture of where, when, and how Gabby died, maybe up in Wyoming, is certainly becoming a little more clear tonight. First, I want to bring in News Nation's Brian Enten, who's outside the Laundrie's home in Northport. Brian, it was hard not to hear the protesters, who seemed a heck of a lot more aggressive on the bullhorn today outside that house. Before I ask you about it, I want our viewers to be transported to those moments from today with the protesters. Take a look.
You guys are murderers. You guys have a murderous son. What were you thinking helping your son? What were you thinking? Huh? You guys have blood on your hands too. You have blood on your hands. You helped your son escape responsibility and you should be held accountable for that. Shame on you. Shame on you, Laundrie family. Shame on you.
Brian, that is some pretty aggressive stuff. You're murderers. You have blood on your hands. Is this basically the tenor of what people are saying now outside that house?
Yeah, that was really something, Ashley. I mean, we're used to seeing the protesters out here pretty much every day, but most of the time they're just on their bullhorns pointed at the house and the laundries are inside. That was the first time I've actually seen them use their bullhorns right at the parents as they got out of their red truck. And it's just been heated out here lately and strange things have been happening. I want to show you something else. Look at the laundry's front door right there. You see that screened in area. Outside, you can see there's all of those bouquets of flowers. There is something trending online where people are sending flowers to the laundry's house and addressing them to Gabby Petito, since Gabby Petito lived here at one point, and people are hoping they're going to send a message to the laundry's to get them to start cooperating with law enforcement. But we've been watching the flowers pile up all day long, and we're just sort of waiting to see, are they going to come out at some point and have to do something with these flowers?
So, Brian, I have to say, in all the days that I have been in your shoes out in front of a scene, plenty of people come by and put flowers down. But what you're saying is this is a coordinated, almost like a backhanded trolling campaign to actually pay florists for FTD-styled flower deliveries. So it's a flower delivery that comes there. It's not a protester that police could say, you know, back off. You're not allowed on the lawn.
Exactly. These are people from all over the country now sending flowers to the laundry's house. Yesterday, the police came out here briefly and said that they were going to start moving the flowers over to the official memorial, which is near City Hall. That really enraged people online. They said, no, if we're paying for these flowers to go to the laundry's house, we want them to go to the laundry's house. Police responded and said, okay, we're going to back off. Unless there's an official complaint, we'll let the flowers keep arriving.
So, Brian, just, I mean, details are everything, but when the laundries get out of that truck, and not saying they do it every day, but they got to walk right past, have your cameraman zero in on that spot again, if you would, please. They would walk right past that. Yeah. Are they just ignoring that they even exist, that this message that's loud and clear from the people who are so upset about what's going on with these parents and their intransigence when it comes to law enforcement, have they even acknowledged the fact that there is a veritable vigil building outside their door?
Have not. They have not been out since this morning when you had that video, so they haven't seen most of the flowers yet. But again, I mean, what are they going to do tomorrow or the next day? We don't know how much food they have stockpiled. I mean, they'll stay in there for days sometimes, up to a week. But we don't know what's going to happen when they eventually come out. Are they going to have to come out and clear these flowers away? It's definitely going to be an interesting situation, especially because likely more flowers will be arriving tomorrow.
Yeah, well, certainly if it's trending, I mean, people are mad. They're angry with the behavior of these parents not speaking and then having this story about a missing son, but then never once asking anyone outside their home to help them find their poor missing child. It's just, none of it makes any sense. And so, you know, people out there are saying, I smell a rat. Okay, next question, and that has to do with the dog, the bounty hunter business. We saw him, all the media trained on him, banging on the door and not getting any answer, but you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter, say what you will about him. He's got a bit of a past, and some people like it and some people hate it. The guy knows how to track people, and he found those, you know, he got that tip about the campground. And Brian, it was astounding to see that it was the same campground, DeSoto, where Brian Laundry and Gabby Petito together had visited. We got a picture of them posing in front of some bars at that campground, but it kind of churned my stomach to think that these two had been there together and that right after he comes home, he and mom and dad pack up the camper and go right back to that spot. There's got to be a lot of chatter about that.
Yeah, that was really something to see, that Instagram post. I mean, it's so weird how all of these puzzle pieces in this story somehow end up connecting at the end of the day. But you remember on our show, on your show last night, Ashley, we had Dog the Bounty Hunter on the phone. We had heard this rumor that he had come up with something with the tip. He explained to us that it had to do with the campground. So many people were skeptical about it, but you mentioned it. Then today, we go out to the campground, we get the county records, and they show that for the most part, Dog the Bounty Hunter is correct. We went out to the campground. We tried to gather more information. I mean, there's people out there. There's workers out there. But take a look. Most people just didn't want to talk about it. We're nervous to talk about it.
Oh, Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to that. Can you know what? Let me ask our control room, Brian, that you have a moment, I think, on tape when you had asked someone, to talk to me a bit about this big laundry story. I mean, here you are, DeSoto Campground, and the media has descended upon you near, you know, Sarasota and St. Pete's. Let's take a look at that moment when you asked those questions.
I'm a reporter.
Okay,
I'm with you.
You can talk to the North Fork Police Department.
Is there anyone here we can talk to?
No, sir. They're referring everything to the North Fork Police Department.
Has anyone seen Brian Laundrie?
The sign says they're closed today.
Have you seen Brian Laundrie?
I haven't. I don't know anything about it.
Have you heard anything from any of the guests?
I've been told not to talk about it, too, so...
Brian,
so
okay,
actually, people
hold
did not.
It, hold
yeah,
it. She said, so yeah, she said, I've been told not to talk about it. Not who are you and who are you asking about? And this is weird. Like, Brian, that tells a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, when we went out there, you could tell right away that someone, one of the leaders out there, had told everyone, listen, do not talk about this when the media comes out here. Thank goodness it is a county-run campground, so we were able to put in that public records request and get that official list and confirm that the laundries were there. But yeah, it was strange out there.
You could feel it. I mean, right away when that woman said, I'm not allowed to. I've been told not to talk about it. Nobody is told not to talk about something that they haven't been told is an issue. You know, if you had just shown up out of the blue, it would have been a very, you know, different reception. Brian, one more thing happened at that front porch that was weird. The FBI on Sunday came back to the house, okay? And this is like a full week plus after they'd already done their raid and taken out all those boxes. And you saw that video. You gave it to us, and thank you for that. But when they came back, Brian, they went into the porch and picked up a package that Mrs. Laundrie had already brought out and dropped there and then told all of you that they were picking up a DNA sample. Is that correct?
Yeah, this was over the weekend. This was another strange development. A black FBI SUV showed up at the house. Two or three agents got out. They went to the porch. They were at the porch for about 3 minutes. They picked up the small package. Then it looked like they were filling out some kind of paperwork. They didn't go inside the house. They just waited by the porch for a couple of minutes. They took that small package back to the SUV, and then boom, they were gone. It all happened 2.5, 3 minutes, and they were gone. We didn't know what happened. FBI wouldn't tell us, so we started texting with the Laundrie attorney, and he said that the Laundries agreed to allow the FBI to come and take something of Brian's so that they could do some kind of DNA matching.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Brian, I talked to one of our investigator friends who's been in this business a long time, and he said that's not the way you get DNA. You don't ask for a package to be dropped off on the front porch and then come and just pick it up. You go in and you get it so that you have chain of custody. You know exactly where it came from. And P.S., why didn't they pick up DNA a week ago when they did their raid? It just seems so strange. One last quick question that I just thought of. I don't know if you know this. Was there surveillance video at that campground? Because I think Dog, the bounty hunter, said something about the three of them were seen going in and only two of them were seen going out. Do we know if that's something that can be established?
Yeah, that is a good question. And we looked for surveillance cameras, and right near the front gate to the campground, there was a camera pointing in one direction to get the cars coming in, and there was a camera pointing in the other direction. We tried to find out, is this a camera that records? We were told it's possibly a license plate reader, so it might not be recording video, but we're still waiting to get information on that from the county.
And we don't know if the FBI or any responding authority said, can we please have that card, that tape, that whatever their system is. They didn't ask. We don't know if it was confiscated, do we?
We don't know, but I can tell you we were out there for most of the day. We didn't see one police officer or one FBI agent, and our affiliate here in Tampa had their helicopter up over the campground for a good portion of the day, and they said they didn't see any law enforcement there today.
It is just another fascinating twist, Brian. I hope that you're getting sleep and a couple of solid squares of food and not just pizza as you do that stakeout. Thank you, Brian Enten. Excellent work as usual.
Thanks, Ashley.
All right, we're going to stay in touch with Brian, obviously. And after the break, we're also going to take you from the Laundrie's house in Florida back to the site In Wyoming, where Gabby Petito may just have lost her life because using law enforcement reports and social media posts, we are getting closer to finding out just what happened on the fateful day that Gabby was killed and what role Brian Laundrie may have played. Welcome back to our special coverage of the Gabby Petito homicide investigation. Brian Laundrie is now the most wanted man across the country, if not by the police, certainly by the public. And while the hunt for Gabby's fiancé spans across the country, her family held a press conference on the East Coast, and they gave some updates on the case. Last night, her parents and her step-parents all got tattoos, identical ones. Not just themselves, to each other, but to the one that Gabby wore on her forearm as well. And it's her actual design, they told us. Let it be and believe. They also offered thanks to the FBI, the police, and to people on social media.
I don't want to dismiss the ridiculously hard work that the FBI and law enforcement all around did, but social media has been amazing and very influential. And to be honest, it should continue for other people, too.
The contributions of the public via social media have been invaluable during this investigation. In fact, when you take those updates and you put them alongside reports from law enforcement, he was right. The puzzle is starting to come into focus. And that focus is laser guided to August the 27th. The possible day that Gabby Petito died. And here's what I mean. The day before, on the 26th, August the 26th, at 8 p.m., a TikToker named Jessica Schultz says she sees Brian parking that white van at the Spread Creek campground. The next day, August 27th, 1 p.m., another TikToker, Nina Angelo, sees Brian and Gabby fighting at the Mary Piglet's restaurant in Jackson, Wyoming. And later that same day, 6 p.m., August 27th, a YouTuber named Red, White, and Bethune, well, they see the van parked back at the Spread Creek campground in the same spot that it was just the day before. 2 days later, now it's August 29th, and at 5:30 in the afternoon, TikToker Miranda Baker says she picked up Brian hitchhiking, a place called Coulter Bay, Wyoming. It's about 40 minutes later that same day, 6:09 p.m. TikToker Miranda Baker says she drops him off at the Jackson River Dam when Brian reportedly freaks out and asks to get out of the car hurriedly. Just about 5 to 10 minutes later, between 6:15 and 6:20 p.m., a woman named Norma Jean Jalovich says that she picked Brian up near the Chapel of the Sacred Heart, and she drove him back towards the campground. 10 to 20 minutes later, about 6:30 to 6:40 p.m., Norma Jean drops him off, but she drops him at the entrance to the Spread Creek campground. She says she offered to drive him all those miles, you know, down the long dirt road to where his van was parked, but, and this is interesting, he says no, and he hops out of the car basically while it's still moving. So something got his goat there. 3 days later, we're now at September 1st, a license plate reader spots the van arriving back in Northport, Florida. That is a 35-hour drive. And 9 days later, on September 19th, that's the day Gabby Petito's body was found in that Spread Creek campground where all of these social media users say they saw Brian Laundrie going back and forth between the specific places and acting very strangely. But again, it's not just social media users. Cops too, FBI. They have said anybody who was in the area of the Spread Creek campground between the dates of August 27th and August 30th, well, they want to hear from you. So I want to bring in criminal defense attorney and civil rights attorney Mark O'Mara. Mark, it's really amazing, you know, what the social media users have been able to do in terms of pinpointing when we may have last seen Gabby Petito and when Brian Laundrie made a run for it. You've got it. You've really got to hand it to them. And their information may end up in court someday, right?
Social media and body cameras and cell phones and security cameras are the new best investigative tool for law enforcement and for solving crimes. We never had this information available to us 15, 20 years ago, and now what we know is all this information is out there, and as the FBI and other law enforcement agencies gather it together, it either crosses out some suspects or some possibilities, or it confirms them, and it makes their job a lot easier. So this is new, but this is coming, and it is literally the newest investigative technique available.
I mean, Mark, you and I have worked on so many cases over the years, and I don't think I have ever, before a charge is even levied, been able to zero down a suspect going bing, 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 bing between the place where a body's found, the last place she's seen alive, and in between a few places he's freaking out, like he had a change of heart. Maybe he wanted to leave without the van and leave Gabby in the campground, or maybe he left something in the van that was, oh, geez, I can't leave a laptop or a phone, or oh, I forgot the shovel, or whatever it is. But speaking of that, if he were going to bury a body, and this is all obviously guesswork here because he's not charged, he would have to have a tool for that. So I can only imagine that the police and investigators are searching every different store where he may have been able to buy an implement to do that kind of work.
Absolutely true. They're trying to put everything that they can together to try and tighten up that fishnet, because right now there are a bunch of different knots in the fishnet, most of them right now coming from social media. And let's not forget, the FBI, law enforcement, knows a lot more about this case than we do. They're not showing us their hand. We're just seeing social media's hand. And one other thing you have to be careful about, sort of a defense, you know, from our bag of tricks, that information which is now out in public is going to help the defense team eventually, if he's found alive, sort of weave their way through a defense knowing that they have to deal with this type of evidence. So there's a downside to the fact that social media is putting this all out there, because the defense team or potential defense team is seeing it as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what goes up must come down a lot of times as well. There is the interesting notion, though, that I would assume the dirt in that campground, especially where they discovered her body, will be very unique. And if it's in the camper van, that may be very indicting to Brian, unless he's got a great explanation for why he's got the same dirt as where, you know, his fiance's body was found in the van. But I'm more interested in a little nugget that I heard in the family news conference today. And Mark, I don't know if you caught this or if it tweaked you, but I want to run this moment where they were talking about Gabby's body, which we had assumed was cremated and brought back to Long Island because they had a memorial service and there was an urn there. But listen to the specific wording that the family used when they referred to Gabby's body and Grand Teton. Have a look.
Part of our goal was we wanted to bring her home as quickly as possible. But it's important for the FBI, the Teton County Sheriff's, the Teton County Coroner's Office, to hold on to her for as long as they need. We want to make sure that no matter what, we do not impede their investigation in any way. We wanted her home immediately, but we understand their position, and we know that she's safe with them.
Mark O'Mara, that sounds a whole lot like she's still there. Her body is still there. And on my count, I might be off by a day, but we're at 10 days now. So the coroner who still has Gabby, and in the words of her family, she's still safe with them. What does that tell you about the kind of investigating that's going on in that coroner's office?
Very intense, which may be a reason why they wanted the DNA to compare it to the sampling that may be found on Gabby, may be found in the area, may also be found in the swamp. But no, they are doing this very well. They're doing it by the book, and they're being very careful. I can imagine them holding on to the remains, as sad as it sounds, because some defense team someday may say that they want their own view of it in order to do their own autopsy or their own review. So I think they're going to be very cautious and keep all the information and evidence, including Gabby, available.
Yeah, I think so. Mark, I know you have to run. I could talk to you all night. You know that. And I'm just going to have you back. So I'm going to let you go. And I'm going to ask my producers in the control room to line up this incredible moment from that news conference today. I think we should end the coverage with their words about what they felt was a sign from Gabby. Look, I don't know if you believe in signs or not, but even if you don't, this is a very heartfelt moment when the media asked the family what's next. So have a look at this.
We don't stop, you know, remembering Gabby and keeping her name out there and fighting for other people out there like her. She's always with us every day. She's giving us signs.
We actually got behind a car yesterday, and there was a Wyoming sticker, and the letters were GBZ.
Gabs. So
Gabs. She's with us. She's with us.
She's with us.
And just remember, as you read social media and as you watch media accounts of this story, that is really what this is all about. There is a family that is tormented by what happened to their daughter, to their loved one. They are destroyed by this, and they deserve justice. They deserve to find out what the hell happened to her, and they deserve to find out why Brian Laundrie is on the run and never once said to them where she was or where he left her. We'll continue to cover this story. I promise you, we are on it. Brian Enten is on it. My great thanks to Mark O'Mara. And straight ahead, this is a real right turn. Who is to say that Demi Lovato didn't see an alien spaceship that October night in Joshua Tree? Neil deGrasse Tyson has plenty to say, not just on that, but on the cosmic, the subatomic, and all the things in between. He joins me live next. Well, there is just nothing like a global pandemic and an existential climate crisis at the same time to make science nerds of all of us, to awaken all of humankind to the power and peril of the natural world and the worlds beyond ours. Am I right? Well, maybe in an alternate universe, but this one still has a love-hate relationship with science. And the trouble is, science don't care. Neil deGrasse Tyson, on the other hand, cares very much. And for a quarter of a century now, he's been sharing his passion and vast, vast knowledge from one end of the cosmos to the other, on TV, on the internet, in books. And his latest is a pocket-sized edition of his best-selling Welcome to the Universe. If you want to probe deeper, his Cosmic Queries is new this year as well. And I'm pleased to welcome Neil deGrasse Tyson to the show. Hello, Neil.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. You know, it's so funny. I always think about you as like, you're the science guy. You're the, you know, the natural history museum guy. And yet you're a controversial guy. How did a science guy become a controversial guy?
No. So I'm reminded of, was it Harry S. Truman, the president who at the time was known as Give 'Em Hell Harry? That was his moniker. And it was asked by a journalist one day, Harry, why are you always giving people hell? And he says, no, I just tell them the truth, and they think it's hell. So, I'm just putting what is objectively true out there among us on my various platforms for whoever will, who cares. And I'm not forcing you into this, but for those who care about what is not only objectively true, established by the methods and tools of science, but knowledge and insight and wisdom that can influence decisions you might make in your life. It seems to me you might want to know that. And you might also want to know how you might approach something you've never seen or thought of before. And as scientists, we're exquisitely trained to do just that. And I'm just sharing that with whoever will listen.
I do love the fact that your virtual background is perhaps the most appropriate virtual background of anyone I've ever seen on Zoom before. Everybody else has a pretend thing, and you've got like the real thing that fits you, that really make, it's really you. It's virtual, but it's really you. Let me ask you a little bit of news here. Demi Lovato, she's a teen sensation at one point. She's in her early 20s now, mid-20s now, and she's a superstar. And she's just recently come out to say, and, you know, I should call her they. She chooses the pronoun they, so I'll say they. Demi says that she once saw a UFO. She says it was a floating blue orb. It happened last October on her 28th birthday at Joshua Tree National Park. 50 feet away, maybe less, floating above the ground, 10 to 15 feet, keeping its distance from me. It was beautiful and it was incredible. Some people get really wound up in that and they can't get enough of it. Other people say, guffaw, heff, ugh, that's silly stuff. I would love to know what a guy like you thinks about a comment like that.
Yeah, so what interests me is not what people say they saw, because that has certain susceptibilities in the human sensory system. Because what you see and what you think you see, what you did see versus how you react, what your emotional state, what your psychochemical state might have been, all of these influence let's just call it eyewitness testimony. But consider right now, today, we have 3 billion smartphones in the world. 3 billion. And each one of these can take high-resolution audio and video. And so no longer must we rely only on someone's testimony for what was true, with all the susceptibilities built in. We have the capacity to document in ways that are very high-resolution accounts of what could be going on right in front of you. I would have been delighted had she recorded this in some way and tried to get better data than just simply her eyewitness testimony. And in science, you need something more than just what somebody says, because we knew and psychologists know how susceptible that is.
Right. Well, and also I am I'm always suspicious about everything because I'm a journalist. We're supposed to ask questions and check people at the gate. And so I'm suspicious because she's got a show coming out. She says this is what inspired her to do the show. Forgive me because I keep saying she, but she prefers they. In any case, one thing I can't deny, Mr. deGrasse Tyson, is the fact that naval pilots saw something really interesting. I think it was released several months ago, and you can just tell from the track on their mics, and you're asking for visual evidence, capture it, and then let's talk about it. Wow, did they ever capture it? And so we can talk about it. So let's play that, and I'm going to ask you about it on the other side. Take a look.
Did you box moving target?
No, I took an auto charge.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow. Look at the fly.
Okay, and I'm putting you up to the notch where you should be. Doctor Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, please, Neil is fine.
But you know what? You're way smarter than the rest of us, so you deserve the moniker. And they didn't just have that on tape. They went on 60 Minutes, and they chronicled and detailed exactly what they saw. And yet, loads of skeptics come in and say, oh, that's so easy to explain. How do you explain that?
Oh, no, I'm not claiming that I can explain everything. I'm just simply asserting that if you want me and many of my scientific colleagues to believe that we are being visited by intelligent aliens from another galaxy or another planet, we need better evidence than what is put forth. And I'm reminded of the Carl Sagan adage, which was extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So to my point, our cell phones take better data, higher resolution data than what we saw in these Navy videos.
Sure. I mean,
why is it that our...
But what did you make of it? What did you make of that naval video?
What does it mean for the best evidence put forth that we're being visited by intelligent aliens is monochromatic, fuzzy Navy video obtained in restricted airspace? We have crowdsourced visitation to the Earth because of the 3 billion smartphones that we have on Earth. So I'm just thinking, I'm waiting for better evidence. Have an alien walk towards you and give me the footage of that. Oh, you just got abducted? Show me that. You could live stream the abduction while it's happening before they snatch the phone from you. Then we'd have a record of this.
Yeah. And it will look better than the Sasquatch videos that are out there.
It will.
Okay. Neil, I have to squeeze in a quick break, but I have a gazillion, and I know that's not an official number, but I'm going to use it because it's very descriptive. got a gazillion questions. And when we come back after the break, other people have a gazillion questions for you, too. I'm going to let you ponder this one while we're in the break. But one of our Facebook folks says, what science fact do you wish you'd never learned? So think about that one during the break. And when we come back, I'm going to get the answer to that and much more.
Okay.
You do? Okay. I can't wait to hear it. Back with Neil deGrasse Tyson after the break.
Super Kamioka, subterranean Japanese neutrino detection chamber. We're more than a half mile beneath Earth's surface.
Wait, did you call that super tapioca? Did you, Neil deGrasse Tyson, did you really call that super tapioca?
Super Kamiokande, yes, the Japanese.
Okay. I mean, I hear what I want to hear. You know, I love tapioca.
That's right. That's part of the problem of the human sensory system.
Good point. Good point. So that brings me to that question that I had for you, which didn't come from me. I wish it did because it's a good one. It's Michael S. on Facebook says, what's a science fact you wish you'd never learned?
Yeah, I got one. I mean, I like learning everything, so technically there isn't any. But if I had to order it in that way, the number one fact that I really didn't need to know was learning that there's could be millions of dust mites in my pillow eating the dead skin sloughed from my body every night. I did not need to know that.
I'm the same. There's stuff in your eyelids and in your eyelashes. I heard the same thing. The creepy crawlies that are in there.
Some things, but if they don't affect me in another way, I don't need to know it. Plus, if you see them under microscope, it's like, ew. At least you could be cuddly or something, but you're not.
Right. They're like the creatures from the Black Lagoon, right? They're horrifying. Like they're like crabs on steroids.
Yes.
So something tells me this is going to be a viral moment.
I didn't need to know about that. My life would have been just fine without that knowledge.
Me too. Okay, so I have another question for you about all the money that's been spent in the private sector, the billionaires who've been, you know, flexing their geek muscles and sending people up into space and racing to be in orbit or et cetera. And I wanted to know what you thought about that, because so many critics say, wow, you're wasting money, Jeff Bezos. You could have spent all that money on your workers. But I sort of think a guy like you would say, hold it. Are we not thinking about the byproducts of the work they're doing?
So yeah, it's a complex challenge to think about all of these moving parts. So I think the real question should be: suppose Jeff Bezos was paying everybody what they should, or the workers had good working conditions, and there was no issues with regard to his workplace, would you still complain about what the billionaire is doing? Would you? Okay, so, and many people sort of combine, they have a sort of an anti-billionaire streak within them, and they want the billionaire to do other things with their money that they prefer. And I'm saying, of all the things a billionaire could be doing with their money, is going into space really so low on your list that you'd rather they not do that? Think about, be careful what you wish for.
Right. You're right. Because you know what they could be doing? They could be flexing each other's muscles and proving that they can build the bigger mega yacht. So I agree with you. I think that's a very good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have another question for you.
The biggest yacht
wars
in the world.
Okay. Right. Okay. When we come back after the break, I have to ask you this question. It's really weird, but I think you'll appreciate it. There's this psychedelic drug called 5-MeO-DMT that some people out there say takes us to another universe, and not just as a high. Some people really believe this is the portal. I don't think it's the craziest thing, because as I've done some research, it's a substance that is, people just don't know why it's even on the earth to start with. So I want to get your feelings on that and whether it really could take us to another universe. Back with Neil deGrasse Tyson after this. Still with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay, the Facebook guy who wants to know this question is Mitch C. And he says, have you had any experience with hallucinogens, specifically DMT?
So the answer is no, for many reasons, but among them is the brain barely works. the chemistry that goes on in our head just barely gives you a sort of accurate account of reality. And if you put almost anything in the mix, that gets disrupted. And I'm given no reason to think that disrupting a barely accurate measure of reality gives you a deeper understanding of reality or some alternative universe. It's really hard to convince me of that. So the answer is no. I'm not with you on that one. But enjoy the trip.
I'm glad to hear it.
Enjoy the trip.
It's just a different trip. It's just, it's all in your own head. It's not in a different universe, according to NGT. Thank you.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
And then, so this is something we like to do on the show when we have special guests like you. We like to seat you at a virtual table, and the chair across the table from you is empty, and it's called Table for Two, and you can put anybody in that chair that you want, living, dead, or maybe even non-existent in the universe somewhere. Who would you choose for your Table of Two, Neil?
Thank you for I thought long about this, and every time I want to pick Isaac Newton, who discovered calculus and gravity and motion, but then I realized I would have to do so much explaining to him. He said, "Well, how'd you get here?" I say, "In a car." He said, "What's a car?" "Oh, I have to say, it's a horse-drawn carriage without a horse." Okay, well, how do you make that? "Well, it's an engine." "What's an engine?" And it would just go on and on. It's like, go back to where you came from.
Forget the Apple phone. Like, I'm late. My schedule says I got to be somewhere. Yeah, forget about that, right? Holy Dinah.
I think I want to invite someone who was brave in their life, but like Martin Luther King or Joan of Arc, just to speak to them about what motivates them to stand up against such odds, knowing even that they'd be putting their life at risk. So I that's a part of my life I don't get daily exposure to, and I think that's who I would have at the table, including the wine I saw. The wine was there too. That's good.
Yeah, right. We knew that you were a big connoisseur. We kind of expected that I kind of expected you'd say someone like that. But then at the same time, I thought because of how cute you are, you might say Cher or Bono or something. I have exactly 40 seconds left. If it were Cher or Bono, who would it be?
I like them both. But I think Bono, because the songs he writes are important for your emotions, for life, for feelings. So Bono, I would say.
Well, Cher makes me feel
Cher.
Good.
I love Cher.
Hey, okay, the book is called Welcome to the Universe. It's a brief welcome to the universe. Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's great to see you. When the next book comes out, you better come back.
On it. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you. And hey, all of you, thank you for being with me tonight. We are continuing our coverage of the Gabby Petito case tomorrow night. We sure hope you'll be back with us right here on Banfield.